You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us as we march forth into a new week.
Oh, I saw you did that.
Yeah.
That's why he's the best in the business.
Yeah. You don't go into this unplanned. No.
I can't.
Michael, Don, Peter, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Good weekend, I hope. What was that deep breath about?
Yeah, what was that? That was Peter.
No.
Is there an issue?
I did have a good weekend. I had a very nice weekend. I hung out with Natalie, had a little dinner with Ballard and Katie. I saw my friend Dave, who Michael complimented as being very handsome the other day.
Very handsome. What did he think of that?
He was quite amused with it because his dad is a big Yankee fan and listener and watcher of this show.
Right.
So, Don, imagine that you're watching TV one day and you're a big Yankee fan. You don't call the show. You're just a regular person who loves Michael K. and the K. Show. And all of a sudden, Michael K. starts telling a story about how handsome your son is and saying, what's his deal? I mean, he must have been guffawed, I think, would be the word, Michael.
You can't feel bad about
maybe.
It.
No,
can't
I
feel bad about
I'm
it.
I'm confused.
No. You could feel good and confused at the same time. I had Rangers Leafs. I finally called a late game tying goal for the first time. It felt like in years.
Yay!
That was fun. They ended up losing the game anyway.
And a little rempy fight.
Yeah, it was much ado about nothing. But
a lot of jabs he got in.
I think he lost the fight, but I think you win the war by just he showed up. Didn't want to go earlier in the game because he was at the end of a shift. And I think that was the right thing for him to wave Reeves off. But, you know, down 3-2, they get into it. So that was nice. That was fun. Beautiful day yesterday and today. But yesterday was special. Sunday was oh my God. Scratch it. Just rained all day. But yesterday
Saturday.
Was really nice. Saturday.
Yeah.
Right, Sunday was beautiful. Saturday. And then Sunday was gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, when Peter gave the outward, I thought that was imitating all of Nick Nation. I was watching that game. I was watching the beginning of the game, and to see his leg flopping like that, I just thought to myself, "That's it. Season's over." If Brunson's out for the whole year, which I don't think he is, they say it's a left knee contusion. But if he would be out for the whole year, they might drop out of the play-in. Now they're a gritty, gutty bunch because they won that game yesterday. Now I know that Donovan Mitchell didn't play, but still, the Cavaliers—they have to win that game. Jalen Brunson's out after 1 minute. Deuce McBride plays 47 minutes. You got to win the game. You got to win the game at home. So the Knicks have something over the Cavaliers. They beat them last year. I don't think the Cavaliers want to see them again in the playoffs. That was an awful loss for them. A real pick-me-up win for the Knicks. And the fact that X-ray showed that there was no structural damage, that it was simply a knee contusion, I mean, everybody just breathes a sigh of relief because, I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching it live, but I just like dropped my chin to my chest. I said, that's it. All the good feelings. It's all over. But thankfully, it didn't turn out to be that.
I thought of Peter.
Hmm.
And then instantaneously, Peter was on social media reminding me why I thought of him in the first place. And that was, is this city jinxed? Are they just not meant to have any winners? And just in case the incompetency goes away and you finally make the right decisions, the sports gods are going to cripple them with injuries so they don't win. And I thought it was folly when he said it. And I still think it's a little much. But seeing Brunson go down, I instantly thought of Peter.
Oh, well, Do you guys see that? Do you see the back page of the Post on Sunday?
Yeah, Mike Vaccaro wrote a similar column to what you said. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that I'm an absolute hack who knows nothing, but 3 days later, a great respected mind to make it the back page of the Post?
I have too much respect for Vaccaro to accuse him of this. But it's easy to steal from you because nobody's going to think that they stole from you.
That's a great point.
It's like stealing from a poor person.
Right.
Wow.
But you're the only one that knows they're actually rich.
Right.
Like, let's say it was a filthy, stinking rich person, but they live on the street. And they panhandle for change. And everybody knows that this is a homeless person that's poor. But you know that they're rich. And then you steal from him. It's like, I didn't steal from him. Like, how can I steal from him? He's rich. How can I steal from Peter? He doesn't know anything about sports.
No, he knows nothing. His points never even make sense. And then it was the whole back page of the paper. And then that night, we all get this collective scare. And guys, I've never been more sure, sadly, that someone was in bad shape than Brunson after he couldn't get back up. And it looks like it's fine. It's like a contusion.
Yeah, I mean, I was certain that it was really serious, Peter.
I thought it was the season, for sure, right?
Because he didn't turn... At first, you thought it was an ankle. And then it was weird, because when you saw a couple of the replays, MSG did a great job. It looked like he banged his knee up against Hartenstein.
Yeah.
But then he kept going. Maybe it was just a late feeling, a pain that kicked in after a moment, because he hurt his knee while he was in midair, it seemed like. Then when he came down, he just crumpled to the ground. And boy, he tried to get up, and it looked like it. Oh.
So you know what, though? That would sort of make sense with it being maybe a bit of a Charlie horse sensation. Because now the Charlie horse is kind of delayed. Like, maybe he banged knees with him. It took a second. He went up, and then it hit him. Literally in the air, it hit him.
Once he goes down, and they're not certain that something's not terrible. For them to battle like that and win, Josh Hart really lives up to his last name. He's kind of the heart of the team. I mean, Brunson is the guy they need, and they certainly miss Randall, but Josh Hart seems like he makes everything go. He had a triple-double last night. He has been great since moving into the starting lineup, and they win a game that they should not have won because without Brunson, Don, they're four starters down.
Right. Well, and McBride, I thought, did a great job, too. I mean, this is a team that's pretty deep. Unfortunately, you can't expect to be able to win long-term when you've got to use your depth as starters. But in that particular moment, sprinkled into the fact that they seem to have the Cavaliers' number, and no Donovan Mitchell, certainly helped them be able to win that game. Forget about style points, guys. They need wins. They have to. And if they had lost that game, what would that be, three in a row? Now, I think they catch a break here with Atlanta, because Atlanta's not very good. They just lost a home-and-home to the Nets and got killed in both games. So.
And the Nets needed that, because now the Nets are just, I believe, what is it, 2 or 4 points out of the final playoff spot.
But the win however you can and just hope you get these guys back and you didn't dig yourself too big of a hole to get out of. I think finishing in the top three, the ship sailed. But if you have any chance of finishing with a 4 seed, you had a home court in the first round, you got to scratch and claw and get every win you can until these guys get back.
And it was also great to see MSG rolled this in during the first quarter, I believe. Julius Randle on the court taking shots. Now, his separated shoulder is the right one, but he's on the court taking shots as they worked out before the game, and so was Anunoby. Also, Mitchell Robinson made the trip, but he was in street clothes. But that shows you that they are getting closer. They just have to survive. They have to survive. They can't drop into the play-in. And, if you get everybody together, you hope that you could turn on the light switch and make it happen. Right now, they're in the fourth position. They're a half a game ahead of the Sixers, who are in the fifth spot. So it's the Celtics, the Bucks, the Cavaliers, and the Knicks. Then the Sixers, a half game behind the Knicks. And then a game behind the Knicks would be the Magic, and then the Heat after that. So dropping into the play-in is still a possibility. But a win like yesterday definitely falls under the heading of big, really big. I also want to send out thanks. I went with my family to the Islanders-Bruins game on Saturday.
Oh, I saw.
What a great game. And, Palmieri with the natural hat trick in the first period, which was amazing, set a record for the quickest hat trick in Islander history.
Which blew my mind when I saw the stat.
How come?
Well, you've got Bossy and
crazy.
Pat LaFontaine. You've got Trottier. You think about the great players that they've had. Not to say that Kyle Palmieri is not a great player. He's not on the level of those guys. Even Alexei Yashin, you figure somebody would be able to do it quicker. But and that's a good Boston team that's battling for first place in the Atlantic Division, so you can't say that Boston didn't care. And now the Islanders have put together a nice little three-game winning streak and trying to put themselves back in the conversation as the Devils shrivel up and die out there on the West Coast. It puts it puts a lot of onus on the fact that it'd be the Rangers and the Islanders possibly getting into the playoffs and possibly, Michael, and this would be great, facing each other in the postseason for the first time in 30 years. How cool would that be?
It would be amazing, and I'll tell you what, you know, because of the jobs I have, I've had an opportunity to meet all the owners of the New York teams. You know, there could be people that are as nice as John Ledecky. I don't know if anybody's nicer.
Yeah.
I mean, he just goes out of his way. It's like, this is his home, and, you know, he invited me and my family into the owner's box, and then
gifts.
The second period,
I mean,
the kids they gave them custom jerseys, and then we sat in the at the glass for the entire second period, which was great, an experience for Charlie, because all three of them, it was just amazing. You don't know how fast that game is and how rough it is, but just a great night, and I want to thank Ledecky and Jay Bieberman who put it all together. So just had a wonderful
Charlie time. Never been that close to hockey, right?
Not that close. He'd been to a Ranger game, but he'd never been that close.
Yeah,
the speed is amazing.
When you get down by the ice and you see the speed and how hard the hits are on the boards, it's a different experience.
Absolutely. Now, a little bit of a sad note that we'd like to address right at the start of the show is that ESPN lost one of its giants over the weekend, and that was Chris Mortensen, who's had a long bout with cancer. About seven years, he was diagnosed 7 years ago with stage 4 throat cancer, and he battled and stayed on the air, and then he finally stepped away from ESPN at the end of last football season, or right the beginning of this one. And you knew when that happened that it was probably really a grind for him to make it through, and he finally passed away at the age of 72. And this is really one of the great, I mean, he was one of the trendsetters in television, because the people like Chris Mortensen and Peter Gammons, they used to make these columns in newspapers must see. You know, they would break stories in newspapers. And then Chris Mortensen and Peter Gammons moved over to TV, and all of a sudden people were breaking that news on ESPN. You know, followed by Adam Schefter and guys like Jeff Passan. I mean, it just goes on and Woj. But he was one of the forerunners, a great newspaper columnist who went to TV and did it so well and was trusted by so many people. Broke the Peyton Manning to Denver trade and broke the retirement of Peyton Manning. I mean, he was trusted by all the big names in sports, and he mentored Adam Schefter, who said today he wouldn't be in the business, the television part of the business, if it wasn't for Chris Mortensen. So a tough loss for all of his friends. We never really got a chance to know him that well. He'd been on the show a couple of times, but our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, but that's tough.
Yeah, he reminds me of sort of a time that is now yesteryear at ESPN. He was one of the first real insiders. Now there are so many sort of modern ones that we know, but Mort was that guy. I mean, his voice, his face, like he is just, for people of a certain age, in my age bracket, he is just synonymous with big-time football news, man. I mean, before there was an Adam Schefter, before there was a Woj, all these sort of insiders, Chris Mortensen, and like you said, Michael Gammon's another good one. Those are the two real insiders of my youth.
Well, what happened to me and what's happened to everybody, unless you're really in tune with the sport, is that you get it off of social media, and sometimes you read it and you don't even know exactly who had it first, where you got it, you just see the buzz. But, you know, growing up, you'd have to watch SportsCenter, and Chris would come on with some breaking news or some talk, and that's how you got it. And you got to see his face, and he talked about it, and he was interviewed, and that feels like where it came from. So it came from a time, you know, Clayton fell into this as well from a football standpoint. You go back to Jason Stark for me, Michael, with baseball and ESPN was synonymous at the trade deadline. He'd be somebody you'd want to get information from. And as time goes on, jobs change, lives change, and faces, unfortunately, change. But certainly he's a giant, as you put it, in this business for a long time.
Yeah, sad day for ESPN for sure. 1-800-919-3776. And that's the number. Another big story today is Zach Wheeler just signed a contract extension of 3 years with the Phillies. He has this year left, so there's at least 4 more years with them. And the extension averages $42 million a year. So that's just below, like a million and a half below what Verlander and Scherzer will make. It's just unbelievable. And then, you know, I mean, you almost feel for like Blake Snell. It's not like he can get an offer of $30 million. Now, much more durable Zach Wheeler is, and they love him in Philadelphia. And you, boy, Don, you just think back of what might have been Wheeler and DeGrom with the Mets.
I know. It's frustrating. Wheeler, DeGrom, Harvey, like they were all like, you know, Harvey leapfrogged over all of them. And then, you know, and then DeGrom and then Wheeler ended up getting dealt away to San Francisco for the Beltran deal. And that never never
the
worked out.
Around.
The other way around, excuse me. And it just never worked out here in New York for Wheeler. But it's a smart thing to do, Michael, because the money is obviously going up. So they're probably projecting it out. Okay, when this guy becomes a free agent, how much is it going to cost to keep him? And it's probably going to be, you know, over $50 million, something like that, by the time he ends up hitting free agency. The money doesn't seem to be going down. It seems to be going up. So you got him. You know what he can do. So you, and if you lose him in free agency, you're going to have to try to replace him and maybe not as good a player and for a lot more money. So I think you're seeing a lot of these teams trying to hold on to players before they hit free agency. I guess the question is it risky for the player? Because will he regret that contract in a couple of years, Michael, when he doesn't hit free agency and he sees the money going up and up and up and you look at his $42 million and say, I can be making 52. But if you're comfortable where you are and you think you got a chance to win, then why not take advantage of it?
He would have been a free agent at the end of this year.
Right.
So I mean, that's going to be top dollar. The guy that I thought about when I saw this contract is Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, $36 million a year. I know it sounds like lunacy. It's an absolute bargain. $36 million for Gerrit Cole, who's the best pitcher in baseball. So if he became a free agent tomorrow, he might get $45 million. I mean, how could you not give him that? Because he's about the same age as Wheeler. And, you know, the salaries now, I don't want to sit here and say they're insane because people are giving it to him. Good for the players. Let them make as much money as possible. But people have asked me all winter, well, what do you think it's going to cost to keep Soto? I said, about $50 million bucks a year. And people laughed at me, rolled their eyes. Juan Soto's 25 years old.
But see,
of course it's going to be $50 million a year.
But I feel like I'm talking in circles, and Peter's agreed with me every step of the way. I get Soto. He's going to play north of 150 games, four at-bats. He's going to have an impact. I mean, you're talking about pitchers that literally are not going to give you more than 30 starts. 30. Out of 162 games, Michael, it just seems insane to me. And if you don't have, and if you're spending all this money, now the Yankees aren't in this situation because they've got tons of money, but if some franchise decides I need to make an impact, I'm going to give up a ton of money to a pitcher. If you don't have other pitchers in the rotation, it's a waste. It's Steve Carlton back in the day, right? Where you're competing for a Cy Young, your team's winning 50 games. Like, what does it matter? Unless you're on a team that's really good and you have a great rotation, Michael, it's good to have that guy. But if you don't have the team, is it going to move the needle? How could it?
The Phillies do, you know, because they signed Nola and they've got, I don't know why his name is, Ranger Suarez. So you got a great 1-2-3 right there, and you got him for a number of years now. So I get why they did it. But I understand what you're saying, too, because they value starters so much, and then they devalue them by not letting them pitch more than six innings. So it's weird. But can you imagine? I mean, Juan Soto's been unstoppable in spring training. Spring training means nothing, but this guy has a track record to show that he's a great player. Let's say Steve Cohen's really in on Soto, and the Yankees are really in on Soto, and then the Red Sox get involved on Soto. The Dodgers won't be in on him. Then the Cubs get involved on Soto. I mean, the bidding could go out of control. It could go absolutely out of control. So, listen, owners always cry poverty. They always want, like, restraints put on them. But then they work around the restraints, don't they? And I'm going to carefully watch the Philadelphia Phillies because their owner is a great owner. But Bryce Harper has 8 years left on his contract. Eight. Until he's 38 years old. And he's already, Scott Boras has already asked the Phillies for a contract extension. If they give him a contract extension, you know what? They should get their head examined. That's on them. You're going to give a guy who's going to be 38 at the end of 8 more years on his deal. And I know what Boras is doing, who's his agent. Well, he didn't take a no-trade clause. He's been the perfect Philly. They love him in Philly. You know, he's everything that's Philly. I get it. I understand that. But you want an 8 year, you want 8 more years, and then you want an extension on that to take you into your 40s. If the Phillies do that, then caveat emptor, they deserve everything they get. If you give somebody that long of an extension after they have 8 more years on their deal. Eight. Wheeler had 1 year left on his deal. That makes sense. Now, if it's up to Dombrowski, he said, we're not giving anybody an extension with 8 years left. But you don't know. Middleton might say, hey, Harper's the perfect Philadelphia Philly. We might do it. So just a couple of things that are happening in sports. So it's been a wild, wild weekend, wild day. Also, Jason Kelce, an emotional press conference today. He decides that he is going to retire. And now he probably becomes the biggest free agent in broadcasting. They say that Fox is probably out because they're on the West Coast. He lives on the East Coast, so it might be CBS, which has a lot of the spots on their pregame open. It could be Amazon. It could be NBC. It could be us. It could be ESPN. So we shall see. Right. But he is supposed to be the highly pursued free agent in broadcasting.
I'm just finally glad we can talk about Jason Kelce. You know, it's been too long. He's been under the radar. No one talks about the Kelces. Finally, we can celebrate this man. You know what I mean?
Should I feel bad that I don't care?
I could not care less.
Now, obviously, people will go, well, yeah, a Giant fan and a Commanders fan. Like, I'm not even talking about the competitive thing. Good for him. Again, all these guys, oh, you got to hire him broadcasting. None of them move the needle for me. Give me Jason Kelce. No Jason Kelce. Give me Gronk. No Gronk. Have stick figures do a pregame. I don't care. I'm going to watch the game. I don't know. So if they want to play mad money with all these guys and be hot to sign these, we got to have these. Got to have Jason Kelce. He's the hottest thing going. It's not. It doesn't matter to me at all.
No. For us, it doesn't matter at all. I will argue this, though. There is something going on with the Kelces prior to Taylor. She just added to it. The Kelce documentary and the relationship they have with actual casual and non-football fans is borderline weird. Have you guys experienced it yet?
No.
What do you mean weird? I don't get it.
I have met now multiple women who love the Kelces just for like reality TV purposes.
Like love them that they want them?
No, you sick perv. I don't mean that.
I don't know what you mean.
Michael only, want only means one thing to Michael.
No.
Well,
I don't.
Two things, money and sex.
I don't mean it that way, though, Michael. I just mean.
Thanks, son.
I'm a lockstep. I'm with you.
But I mean, Michael, in a real, like, for lack of a better word, Kardashian fascination with their lives thing. I'm telling you, we'll get phone calls. There are people out there. I have a friend whose wife literally has zero interest in football, loves the Kelces, predates Taylor. It's from their documentary, loves how their family is. So there is something there. I'm just saying that's not for me. So the idea of me caring about the retirement of an already overly celebrated Philadelphia Eagles center, kill me now. I don't care at all. And on top of everything, as if it wasn't already celebrated enough and we already knew he was the man and a great player and won a Super Bowl, now we're going to have him, as long as his brother's in the league, we're going to have him with his shirt off, in overalls, with the podcast. And by the way, he seems like a great guy. But as a fellow NFC East fan, I don't care about Jason Kelce.
So I guess because you said Fox is out because they're on the West Coast. So.
Well, that's what Andrew Marchand said in The Athletic.
So... Yeah, so that'll be CBS's Gronk. Like Fox.
No, but I think, listen, I think Gronk is kind of like amusing, but he brings nothing to the party. I think Jason Kelce has more substance.
Oh, no, he would be way better.
No, I think he'd be way better. There's no, but I'm just saying the whole,
sure.
I think, but the logic of the hiring is kind of the same. But I do think that Kelce would be a better analyst and bring more to the table than Gronk does.
All right, we're going to take phone calls when we get back. It's going to be a busy, busy show as we march forth into another week. And I am going to make a plea to my two co-hosts when we get back.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to beg. I'm going to plea and beg when we get back. Plea and beg. Title of my 30th book.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait to plea and beg.
And based on the weekend you had, Michael, you have a cover for your new book.
Yeah.
That
was, I honestly, it's amazing how he's able to turn these bets into just turning his life around in a positive way.
It's unbelievable.
It had nothing to do, that picture is the fact that it's exploded has nothing to do with
the beard. The beard's a factor.
It hits different. If you're cleanly shaven, I don't think it works.
It's part of it. It's part of what inspired you.
It was hard, as a lot of people said. I have never ever posted anything, Peter, that got almost unanimity in terms of positivity. Does that make sense?
And that
very few people took a shot. Everybody thought it was great.
If you're clean shaven, I guess it's a negative and gains no traction.
Interesting. I don't think so.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I'll go with it for the argument.
Thank you.
Sure.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael, Don, and Peter with you until 6:30 today. Another
sure.
Ranger game today. Don's going to be all over it.
Two heavyweights tonight, Rangers-Panthers.
You kidding me?
I'm going to tune into that one. I'm starting to get into this hockey. Let's do
Ray
some
Rowe.
Hockey.
You know what?
Okay, so I know this is going to be shot down. Because I know the two people I work with.
So I know what you're doing. Oh, my gosh. I already know.
I don't know.
You're so pathetic.
What?
You're a pathetic piece of garbage.
Whoa. I don't know.
He's about to beg to get out of the bet. He's going to say he likes the look. Please don't make me do the Pusick.
No, that's not what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, I apologize then. I take back everything I just said.
I'm begging to get out of the bet. I can't stand this beard. I'll make a huge donation to the charity.
$100,000.
Not that big.
All right,
well, dead right.
Sorry. Then you don't want it that bad.
Oh, I just hate it.
You really hate the beard?
I hate how it feels. I hate how it looks. Makes me look old and dirty and hobo-like.
People love it, man. I think he's doing this to just like hype it.
No. I got a text today from John Filippelli and said, WTF with that picture in the on X.
Oh, he didn't mean the beard. He meant, why do you look like you're French Montana making a mixtape cover?
No. I mean, you just said the whole picture was the beard. You just said that.
No, Don said that. I didn't. To me, okay, here's what's weird about the picture. You're sitting like you're a gangster rapper. You're wearing baggy...
I was not posing. I was just sitting there, and Jody took a picture I didn't even know.
He's wearing baggy fatigue pants.
They're sweatpants.
And the hood wasn't necessary. He's got hair. It wasn't that cold.
You're wearing a hood.
It was cold. I just worked out. I just walked 5 miles, so I sat down, and I was sweaty, so I put the hood on. And butter, of course, now, right by my side.
Now, here's why Michael is all wet on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's bothering him, right?
It is bothering
so
him.
So wouldn't it bother him less if he just shaved it down to the Pusick? He keeps fighting us about right now he should shave it down to just the Pusick. It would bother him less, right? So why don't you do that?
Because I'm supposed to give you a full Pusick. That's not giving you a full Pusick.
But it doesn't matter. you could still make yourself feel better. You, the whole obligation is to grow the pusick, not everything else, not the mustache, not the hair on the cheeks. You could shave all that down, and it probably would bother you a lot less. Peter, am I wrong? He's asking out of it rather than the alternative, just shaving it down to the pusick now.
Like $1,000 for charity is not enough. You want $100,000. Is that what you want? I don't have that kind of money.
Throw 10 at him. Just, he won't do it. So
no,
throw 10
I won't
at
do
him.
10. So. I won't do 10.
Five.
No, I'll do $1,000.
No, that's it. No. $1,000's nothing. They can't, that, you
so
know what
does he even talk to us for?
I know.
You know, he wants to get out of it, and then now, and he's bargaining against himself for the price. Yeah. I said $100,000. It's $1,000. He won't do 10. He won't do 5. It's only $1,000.
No, that's not a negotiation.
$1,100.
All right. Shave it clean, right down to the linoleum.
To do what?
And then we're done.
What do you mean?
No more punishments. It's over. And forever, when people ask, why don't you do it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Because of Michael.
No, and then, I won't do that. I won't do it. Then, no. And I'll shut up then. I just thought
how
maybe,
much longer we have here?
Until March 28th.
Nice. We got a nice, I'd say, but Don, here's what I'm thinking. Nice couple more weeks here,
but,
the beard.
But Peter.
And then you get a nice thick pusick.
Do you really think what bothers him? Is just the chin. Wouldn't he feel better if he just shaved it down to the pusick now? What
I hate everything
his
about
hesitancy?
It. I mean, when you eat, it actually gets in the whole beard.
But
it
gets in the beard. I've got more beard than you.
It won't,
getting in my
it
beard.
Won't if you shave it down to the pusick. Unless you're drinking like a dog out of a bowl.
Don't worry about how I drink. It's game time, guys. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Rangers host the Panthers with coverage immediately following us on 98.7. The Nets try to continue their hot ways. They welcome the Grizzlies to Brooklyn with tip-off at 7:30. That'll be on Yes. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Kevin in Scranton. Kevin.
Michael, how are you?
Great. You?
Good, thanks. I have a question on last week's Yankee home opener in spring training. You seem kind of critical of Johnny Baseball's beard.
Right.
And now you're saying that you want out of your beard. Are you anti-beard? You think yours could grow as full as Johnny Baseball's?
His is pretty full, but he's been growing it the whole winter. I you know, Kevin, my whole life I've never really grown a beard. I think I tried it once when I was in my 30s. I think I look terrible in it. I wouldn't grow it to look good. I think it looks terrible. Peter actually looks good in the beard. The more of that face you could cover, the better.
That's not nice.
Did I go too far?
A bit.
Sorry. Let's go to, let's see, Doug in Stony Point. Doug?
Hi, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, Michael, regardless of what you say, the picture is great with butter. Fantastic.
Thanks.
Hey, Don, I got a question for you. The other night in the Ranger game, at the end of the second period, the Rangers had a power play for 53 seconds, then it lapsed over into the third period. Yeah. What if the coach had the ability to say, you know what, defer it to the third period. I don't want it truncated like that.
Well, I mean, you don't have the option to do that.
You're just talking about a rule change. It would only be the end of the first and second period with less than 2 minutes. Much like the defense in football can decline a penalty that's called against the offense.
I guess I'm not mad at it. You'd much rather have the full 2 minutes to start a period.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, is it fair to the team that committed the penalty? Listen, they committed the penalty at the end of the second period. Why should you get the full 2 minutes at the start of the third? I mean, I could see... I don't think that would ever pass, because I do think it's too punitive to the team that commits the penalty. You commit the penalty when you commit the penalty. So how would I put it in a box score? The time of the penalty was at 18:07, but I've got to put it at the start of the. It's too confusing. I don't think it would. I hear what you're saying, because it's much easier to have the full 2 minutes instead of being truncated. But I don't think there'd be enough to move it to change.
Did you guys hear the proposal the NFL has for the onside kick? It's sickening.
Which parts do you hate about it?
You can only do an onside kick the last 2 minutes of a half or the game, and you have to tell the team it's an onside kick that's coming. Why don't you just take all of the strategy out of a game?
shouldn't we be making the onside kick easier?
Yeah, I mean, instead more, of harder? More recoverable, you mean?
Yeah, I would think that wouldn't that make it a lot more fun? If it's a little bit easier to do, well, then teams would try it earlier in the game, completely change momentum the way the Colts did in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Like, I don't want to make it where it never happens. I mean, I would like, listen, they changed the extra point because they wanted to add a little bit of drama to it. Wouldn't it add more drama to the end of games, the ability to come back into games?
I think
if you made it a little easier.
They want to avoid those collisions, I guess, but keep adding games.
Yeah, give me a break, please.
There's a better way to amend this rule. There is a way to do this, I feel like, where you could get more recovered. You get more recovered onside kicks without making. You have to just choose to do it once. I don't dig that.
That's ridiculous. Let's go to Randy in Cincinnati. Randy,
hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
So I am a little bit biased here, I will say, because I did play football with Jason in college. But that being said, the dude is literally one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. Their story is actually pretty incredible. They literally grew up from nothing. Walk-ons. Everyone knows the story by now, but they're going to draw a lot of eyeballs when it comes to.
Well, I said that part, Randy.
But you're acting like it's like a nothing thing. Like they're going to be like.
No, we're just saying we don't care about it.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't care. But I think you're right. Didn't you hear my whole spiel about how I know for a fact that they reach some non-football fans and really do tap into people?
But the actual experience that you're going to see, like when they actually get on the air and they're able to talk about football from not only like obviously a knowledgeable perspective, but from like a just like a guy on the couch perspective and kind of relate to fans. I think like you guys are acting like it's going to be like a Gronkowski type of situation where it's just like they're like a hokey type of dude. Trust me, these guys are legit down to earth dudes, and it's going to be like a really 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 impactful situation for whoever gets them.
Randy, let me just say to respond. I just want to say I 100% think Jason Kelce is a fantastic talker. I'll start with just Jason because Travis is still in the league, but Jason's a fantastic talker. I think he'll be way better than Gronk. I don't think he's cheesy at all. I think he's actually legitimately very good. I feel like these days I have to be like so direct with the words I use because like everything gets interpreted as just hate. I truly think he's talented. And going to be impactful wherever he is. To Don's point, we just don't care because we're watching football. Literally, it could be like the teachers in Peanuts going womp, 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 and I'm watching no matter what. But furthermore, my only point was I'm just sick of it right now. I am getting Kelce'd to death for the last year. That's all. I'm sure they're great guys. Am I not allowed to just be Kelce to death?
And I was the one that said that it would counter, you know, Gronk on Fox, him on CBS. We both acknowledge Kelce would be way better. I'm just saying you could probably have some fun with him. The way they have fun with Gronk, I could see him, you know, doing some weird things, kind of just fun things because he's that kind of a personality. But no, I think he'd be way better of an analyst. But again, it comes across as hate. I'm not hating on the guy. I just don't care. I'm baffled, fascinated by the amount of money that gets thrown at these former athletes for football. What people can't help but watch. Like the other three sports, Michael, like the NHL, a lot of people get upset that Bissonnette's on TNT because Bissonnette wasn't that great of a player. He says outrageous things and he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But Spitting Chicklets has like a billion followers on social media. I get the hire. Because you're trying to get eyeballs to your product. Does football have any issues with this whatsoever? When everybody else's ratings are going in the tank, finding ways, creative ways to get people to watch the other sports, football can't help but to get people watch. And yet they're spending more money than anybody throwing guys on to try to get more viewers. And I don't understand why.
Well, I mean, the numbers keep going up, Don, so there must be some reason.
But do you think they're going up for that or just going up because it's the sport is just so incredibly popular? I get.
But there's so much money in the sport, so they could throw $37.5 million a year at Tom Brady. They could. It's not going to bankrupt Fox.
I just think it gets silly. Like they're competing against each other. I'm sure Tom Brady will do fine, but like that kind of money just you don't think it just seems outrageous?
It's a lot. But you know, we've been told by people in the know that you know, advertisers golf with them. It means something to them. They get more advertiser dollars. I
guess,
don't know.
But when you get, you know, millions of, like when you're getting like the worst matchup on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football, still getting 12-13 million people, I would think the numbers themselves would be able to sell advertising.
You would think though that there's some regret in some of them. I'm sure that CBS, they wouldn't admit it, they regret giving Tony Romo $18 million a year, and the whole industry regrets it, because you know what? That's why Troy Aikman's making what he's making. That's why they raised Collinsworth to $12 million. That's why Joe Buck is making what he's making. That's why Jason Kelsey is going to make a truckload of money, because CBS went nuts on Tony Romo. They just did. And I don't think Tony Romo's lived up to that contract.
I don't see how anybody could.
Well, we'll see if Brady can. You know what's an unbelievable stat? Peter, you'll be shocked at this. I know I was shocked when
Go
I
ahead.
Read it. So we talk about Gronk. Gronk and Travis Kelce are the same age.
Well, right now?
Right now. They're 34, and Gronk's been out of it, what, 3 years?
Two.
Well, he was out of it the 1 year, and he came back and played with Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shocking, right? So he's still got football left.
Yeah, because I don't see Travis being like over anytime soon. I mean, you could clearly see he's getting older, but would you be shocked if he played another 2-3 years?
No, I think 2 years would be about right.
He didn't have a great year though, Peter. Toward the end, it looked like he was done. He had a great postseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. He during the regular season, we all thought he lost a step, and then you saw in the postseason, he was critical.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Beautiful day yesterday, beautiful day today. A lot of rain over the rest of the week.
What? Can I tell you what? I got to tell you, I'm so sick of the weather conversation.
Oh,
it's another,
wow.
Just like the Kelces. Let me tell you something. Everyone was going crazy about the weather yesterday. The weather was beautiful,
yeah.
Right? It was lovely. But I'll tell you what, I enjoyed the weather Saturday, too. Now, I know, I don't have kids. There wasn't an outdoor.
That's a big deal.
I understand, but Don, we're only allowed to have, we all have the experiences we have, right? I had things I had to do Saturday. I still enjoyed doing it in the rain, because guess what? I enjoy rain. I enjoyed...
You're a freak.
I enjoy the feel of the city in the rain. I think there's a certain vibe it creates that I dig. And every time the weather's nice, oh my God, did you see the weather? How about the weather? You got to go outside. Have you been outside? Go outside. I've seen nice weather before. It was great.
What's wrong with you?
I appreciate bad weather. I appreciate good weather. I appreciate weather.
It's just such a pain in the neck. The kids are in the house. Or if I got to travel, you know, there could be weather delays there. Or I'm just saying, I agree with you. Again, it's not the end of the world, but you really just saw the difference between what I was able to do Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Kids are stuck in the house, trying to keep them off the computers, and then, you know, but you know, what else are you going to do?
You know what Don did yesterday, Peter?
It's a fair point.
He swam. He had the pool open.
No,
you know, Don.
The pool's not open. Believe it or not, the pool is not open.
But you would have swam, wouldn't you?
No, close.
It was I think at one point where
64?
I was. 64? Do you trust your car when it gives the temperature and the...
Not yeah, really. I don't.
But I do. At one point, it hit 70 in the car, but I don't believe that. It probably got to like 64, 65. You can't... I'm not swimming in that.
How heated is your pool?
Oh, it's... The issue is not the temperature of the water. It can be as hot as you want it to be. But you got to get out eventually. If you're sitting there, and I don't know what the temperature would be. Say it's 110 in there. Well, then you get out and it's 65 degrees. That's not pleasant.
Yeah, but it's only a minute. You just throw your towel on and get in the house.
Well, am I going to run in the house every time I come out of the pool?
You turn your pool up to 100 degrees?
I don't know. Again, it's like my bank account. I don't know what. Nancy handles the pool.
You don't even know what the temperature is.
Don't even know. I just know it's nice. But you know what I'm saying, Michael. Yours is heated, right?
When we want it to be. I refuse to pay for the...
It is very expensive.
It's unbelievable. Like you get a tank. I don't know what we had, what heats it, but you get a tank of it, right? And it's $1,500 for a tank. And then if you heat the pool for 2 days, it uses the entire tank.
No, I don't have that tank.
That doesn't sound right,
whatever.
Michael.
I'm telling you.
So I tell the kids, you know what, kids? Swim in the cold.
You use the whole whatever this tank is.
I don't know.
If you keep it on constantly, it uses the full tank, $1,500. So we do not use it.
After 2 days, it would do that?
Yeah.
I don't have a tank. It's just my electricity bill goes up.
It's your electricity. That's what I thought.
No, I forget what kind of gas it is. I forget what it is.
But interesting. But it's nice. But you got to get out. See, that's the weird thing. It doesn't matter. People have to realize this is the science of it. There's a science.
Oh, really?
No matter what the temperature is of the water, if it's colder out, so let's say it's 90 degrees outside, right? And the water is 95. When you get out of the pool, it's going to feel cold. Because there's going to be a change in temperature. So,
but you've never enjoyed a freezing day getting in the hot tub?
Well, if you get in a hot tub, it's a different story altogether.
I would love a hot tub. Jody won't allow it.
But I'm not going to go in the pool and then run in the house and then run back in the pool and then run in the house. That's not the experience.
Hold on, Don. I found something potentially more interesting to unearth here. Why won't Jody allow a hot tub?
She says it's a hotbed for filth.
I'm sorry, I
disagree with her. But I mean, I'm not dying on that hill. But
I would see, it's so funny. I would think you might be the guy who would say that.
No, she said it's like a stew of disease.
But disease from who? I mean, you already live in a disease den with your children. That's what life is.
Well, she doesn't. She's not a big fan. Me and the kids want it. She's not a big fan.
Can't you have like chlorine in there and it like kills
the... Yeah, well, the one that I have is attached to the pool. So you can turn it on.
Well, you've got that kind of money. I don't.
Michael, what you're going with is you can't afford a hot tub.
Right, right. Thank you for understanding.
No, but you could have. But I don't know if the pool was there when you bought the house, but we were able to design the pool after the fact.
No, we don't have that kind of cake. That's why I wear camouflage.
I don't understand
what
you say, cake.
He's just, don't even indulge his lies. One of my favorite moments in childhood was when Ben Pleasure's mom got a hot tub. And we were
Mrs. Pleasure. Course, oh yeah,
of course she did.
And we loved the hot tub. Very, very into the hot tub. It was a big thing for us, like in early high school and stuff. And Ben's next door neighbor was this kid, David Levitt, who was a year
younger. Pleasure
young.
And Levitt next to each
Levitt,
other.
Levitt loved it. In fact, David got to meet Jim Eisenreich. I remember that as a child.
Interesting.
That's
wow.
right.
That's very random.
Well, I don't want to get into the details of why, but they had a shared situation, and Jim Eisenreich was very like outspoken in this world, so like he met a lot of kids and stuff. So that's why I remember the great Jim Eisenreich. Anyways, one day David came over, and I mean, Ben and I, we spent 20 minutes getting into the hot tub. Ben was like, today's one of those days, dude. I don't know how high my mom had this thing turned up. Don, you ever had a moment when you get in the hot tub and you're like, this is basically undoable?
Yeah, yeah.
It is too hot to even... And David, who was already kind of klutzy at that age, he came over to join us in the hot tub, and he takes one step in, and just, it was like slipping on a banana peel, falls backwards. Don, it might have been 200 degrees. It was incineration is what happened. And it was one of the funniest things that's ever happened in my life to this day.
I've got a pertinent question.
Go ahead.
Ben Pleasure's mom, hot? Yeah.
It's so, you have no idea the level of filth that question is. No, don't. Don, it's your Do you have a best friend's mother who like raised you? It's like another mother.
Yeah. Stacy's mom. She's got
on. Stacy's mom. Stacy's not his best friend whose house he's at every day, and it's like a second mom.
Was Mrs. Pleasure hot? That's all I asked.
I didn't say, did you desire her? Sometimes, can you just not? Don't you ever
But why do you have to be that? So you're telling me, all right, she practically raised him. But at some point, he's going to acknowledge, you know what? I'm not going to act on it, but she's attractive.
Right. That's all I'm asking.
Biologically connected, so obviously it can happen. Now, you might not think that way, but I had friends that I were very close to when I was in grammar school and high school, and I was like, you know what? Their mom's very attractive.
Thank you, Don, for supporting me.
I didn't have any...
The answer is no. Obviously, the way he's talking, also, the answer is no. He doesn't want to go on record, Michael, but the way he's hemming and hawing,
you know what? I should have read the room better.
Just not ask. And by the way, her name is not Pleasure. That's her marriage. That wasn't even her name. They were actually.
Whose name is it?
They were divorced. It was her husband's name. The Pleasure side is Ben's dad.
I know, but she kept it.
The mother's side, Ben's mom's side, is all Sarah Silverman's family. That is that family.
Oh, so Ben Pleasure's mom was attractive because Sarah Silverman's attractive.
Sarah is Ben's mom's niece. Yes.
Thank you, Don. It all came together.
You stretched
there.
It out so just long enough to get the information that we need.
Why can't you just answer questions rather make us beat our heads against the wall?
Why don't you just be the guy who literally goes, is she hot? About everyone. You're almost 70 years old. I am not almost 70.
When you can ask a question that every listener in their car was thinking about, you're doing the right thing.
Thank you for supporting me. And don't say I'm almost 70. Look at that picture on Instagram. That's not almost a 70-year-old.
But you know what?
He got that dog in him.
You know what? You know what, though?
What?
Do you know how many times you've lied about me and Don's age by 8 years? I'm going to now always say you're almost 70.
No, that's right.
You're almost 50.
It doesn't feel good.
You've already been doing that. Don, he's been doing it for years.
Doesn't feel good, Michael.
Climbed up a decade. Now you're almost 60. You going to play that game? Because 70 really hits different. I'm going to say you're 60.
But that's just silly. Fine. Call me 60 all you want.
All right. You're 60 all I want.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.